If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
All right. Reggie, the producer and engineer running this show. I'm just ancillary. You're the key man here, Reg, right? I mean, everybody knows that. No, this is a team effort. This is a true collaborative effort here every week, and your contributions are key and much appreciated. So, why don't we get on with the art of the podcast? All right. You all set? Trigger finger is ready. Put it in the books. 462, episode 462. And I'll give you the star, smile, and the strong. And here we go. Get ready. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and my gosh, it should be everybody's favorite podcast. Heck with all these $100 million podcasts hosted by all these celebrities or these viral 5-minute TikTok people. Go with the proven. Those of us doing podcasts in the trenches, the unsung heroes, those of us have been doing this at the very beginning when podcasts were just starting, to understand the real essence of talking to an audience and making a connection with them. We're not using our fame from other areas here. This is a radio-based podcast. Born and raised on the radio. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, you can go to WGN.com and you can find more of these. Well, my music. I got so excited and passionate about the state of podcasts. I ran out of my opening music. Wow. Really just went off script there. But I'm serious about that. You know, this is a legitimate podcast. Not here with some big names from Hollywood taking advantage of our former fame in other areas. Signing $100 million contracts and then basically calling up their friends and having their friends on who are famous people. Yeah, anybody could do that. No. This is what a podcast is supposed to be. This is a podcast is all about. So if you're here, it's much appreciated, and you've got a discerning ear, and I certainly appreciate that. But as I said, even though my music ran out, should I run my music again just to do that? Hit that. Would you, Reg? There you go. So if you like what you hear, you can go to WGNRadio.com. Go to the podcast section of that website. And then go to the prompt for this podcast. And there, of course, you will find podcast after podcast after podcast. And we've been doing this for, I'd say a few years. How about since 2016? How about May of 2016? We're inching up on our 9th anniversary. And you can just go in there and there's podcast after podcast. Scroll down and load more. And then suddenly, you will come up to today's podcast, which, of course, is episode number 462. So now, Reg, you're just going to let that music run through? You're not gonna fade it out, huh? All right, let's listen to a little Elton. Yeah, it's Davy Johnstone's guitar there, and the Tower of Power horn. And the drum of Nigel Olsen, and the bass of D. Murray. And the voice of Elton John, the bitch is back. Yes, the bitch is back, and that's me. Back again for episode number 462. I had an interesting thing happen to me the last week or so. I thought I would share. And I wonder if you haven't had this same experience. If you haven't had it yet, I would predict that you may have it sometime in the future. What I always like to do is share some of my experiences. Perhaps you can relate to them because you've had a similar experience. Or, as a public service to my loyal audience out there, I like to try to give you some sage advice. To pass on some of the wisdom that I have accrued over these many years on this spinning marble, and do what I can to alert you to the possible roads ahead and the signposts that you will be encountering as you continue your journey. Wow, listen to that BS. All that stuff could be on little signs or blackboards or rocks and stones, and you put them in your yard, right? All those inspiring quotes. No, but I've had something interesting happen to me, and it's been, and I think I've been in a little denial about it for a while, but I think I have to face the facts on this one. And look, I like to fashion myself as someone who is a realist. I say that many times. But even I, a person who considers himself a very staunch, reality-based person, even I succumb to the delusional thought now and then, or the denial of something that is clear because I just don't want it to be true. You know, we sometimes deny things that are right in front of our face. Everyone else could see it, but we deny it because we just don't want it to be true about ourselves or our circumstance. So much so that we actually, you know, suspend reality. We suspend belief in order to keep the truth away from us as much as it's staring us right in the face. And I think that this one might have been staring me in the face for a while, but I think I was in denial, but I have to face it. Now I don't know about you, but, I'm relatively lucky in that when it comes to eating different foods, I don't really have a lot of aversion to things. I don't have any allergies of any kind from eating food. I know people, you know, can't eat certain foods. Obviously, the peanut allergy is something that has developed over the last 20 or 30 years, but some people just can't, they can't eat certain foods. They get reactions to them in different ways. Sometimes people get headaches from eating certain foods. Sometimes, as I said before, people get some kind of rashes or allergies from certain kind of foods. Sometimes people get very intense digestive reactions to certain kinds of foods. I've been fortunate. I don't really have any of that. And I have a fairly wide palate of foods that I'm not afraid to try things. I'm not averse to hot foods, which I'm going to also mention today. I'm not adverse to hot foods, but I'm not, I know that's the trend now. Everybody with the extra spicy everything, there's extra heat in all foods and dishes and restaurants pride themselves, right? There's a cable or a online show with celebrities that eat hot wings, if they can talk through the hot wings, whatever. So we love hot food today. That certainly is a trend. And I certainly partake in that because I do notice and I do acknowledge that that's spice. You know, if you don't have spice, it's very bland. At the very least, I'm a pepper guy, so much so that sometimes I sneeze after I apply the pepper to my food. Right off the bat. But no, I'm not, like I said, I'm not somebody that's going to eat some of these jalapenos that make you sweat. Although I have had some food that has made me sweat. I like to try anything. You know, then it's a question of, well, maybe that's just not my thing. But overall, in terms of having food, I haven't had to say, oh, I can't eat that. I know a lot of people have to eat gluten-free food. They have reactions to gluten and things like that. A lot of these aversions to different kinds of ingredients or different kinds of foods. I've been lucky in my life that I haven't had that. I can try anything. Some things I don't particularly have again, but at least I've tried them. One thing that I think you acquire a taste for. It's interesting the way our palates develop. I mean, you think about it. We start eating this very bland baby food, right? The first foods that we eat, real foods, aside from the milk or formula, mother's milk or the formula, is the first real food we eat is still pretty tame, pretty bland, right? You see these, never had kids, so I never had to go buy these. I remember when my godson had his first child, and they were feeding the baby, and they were something like a banana something was the flavor of the food. And I was like, I really like banana-flavored things. I like banana bread. I like banana bread pudding. I like banana oatmeal. I like banana stuff. You know, and so there was some banana combination of banana something. And I was like, wow, you know, that sounds good. And I actually tasted the baby food and it was pretty good. I didn't make it it's not a constant in my diet since then. But after tasting that baby food, I literally did go out the next time I went shopping and bought a couple of jars of that baby food. Because it was sort of on my tongue then. I was like, but it didn't last. So don't worry. My kitchen cabinets are not filled with baby food. But look, we like I said, when you see the way our palates develop, we really start out with a very bland diet, right? You know, and when you see little babies, you know, anything that's disturbs them, right? So I think the idea is that we've got to gradually build up our palate. It has to evolve. We start very slow in early life, and you know, little kids are very particular with the foods. The taste has to be a very specific taste. We know we all grew up not liking vegetables. We have to acquire a taste from that. I was like that. some of my favorite foods today are vegetables. I love peas. I love broccoli. I love green beans. I over the last several years, I've come to love Brussels sprouts and beets. Oh, I love a good beet salad. I love salad. I love cauliflower. I like a lot of different vegetables. Green peppers, bell peppers, love peppers. Lots of different things. Those are just top of the head type of things. But that took time. I remember when I was growing up, my parents, I can actually close my eyes and remember sitting at the kitchen table and having broccoli, and I literally gagged on it. I could not, and my at the time my parents were like, oh my God, what are you talking about? Just swallow it. I literally gagged. I had to spit it out. It was like I couldn't swallow it. Now I love broccoli. Just love it. So our palates evolve. And not only do we introduce new foods, we also introduce new tastes. Now, I've never been a salt person at all. You know, everybody says, you know, salt, adding salt is not a good thing for your diet or your body. It helps retain water. It's not very good for your system. I don't add salt to anything. Never have. I will add pepper. I do add pepper, but not immediately. But sometimes I will add a little pepper to something. A lot of times pepper is already used in the preparation of a dish, but sometimes it needs just a tad more for my taste. So I like spice, but I'm not a crazy spice guy. I don't need to sweat when I eat my spices, but I don't mind something that has a little kick to it. My wife, for instance, nothing. She thinks, I don't know. She just, anything with any kind of spice, she's like, oh, whoo, that's just like, wow, there's nothing even to this. So my palate has evolved over time. I don't know if we can train our palate to like different things, or is it just come naturally? I mean, there's some things you just don't like. But when you think about it, as we get older, our palates certainly change. And the foods that we once couldn't stand, we embrace. And some of the foods that we used to devour, we can't have anymore. Like, for instance, I used to love, and I've talked about this before, when I was growing up, I loved Frosted Flakes, Tony the Tiger Frosted Flakes. Had to be Tony the Tiger Frosted Flakes. Still have my Tony the Tiger spoon that I used. Loved it. Had it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks. I mean, just loved it. I actually loved to have it when it was soggy. I would make a bowl of cereal of Frosted Flakes, and then I would just walk away from wherever it was for about 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and then come back, let it get soggy. I like a soggy flake. And then, of course, you get older, and those real sweet, sweet things, you start to get an aversion to. Which is interesting, right? I mean, you think once you love it, you always love it. But no, your palate starts to change for whatever reason. Whether it's consciously or not, I'm not sure how that happens. But you move on to different foods. You get a little more adventurous. You try different things, and suddenly you find yourself liking one type of taste or one type of thing. And those things that you one time embraced, you leave behind. Frosted Flakes, a real sugary types of things, was one of those, which I think is fairly natural for most people. I hadn't had Frosted Flakes, I would think, I'm not exaggerating, probably 25 years at one point. I just totally stopped with the Frosted Flakes. Started to eat more granola, things like that as time went on, and just didn't have the sugary morning cereals that I used to have as a little kid. And so one day I have the shopping cart going through the grocery store, and I said, and I'm in the cereal aisle, and there was Tony. There was good old Tony the Tiger staring right at me with that big smile on the box, on that blue box. And it felt like, you know, old friend, you know, old Tony the Tiger, old friend, old companion. We were so close at one time, old friend, and now we seem to have drifted apart. And so I was, as a bit of nostalgia as well as a little bit of mystery, I was saying, I wonder if I still would like Frosted Flakes. So I went in, went for it, and I bought a box. And I bought the smallest box possible because I didn't know whether, because I mean, you know, cereal these days is not cheap. Wow. Isn't it? I mean, why is cereal so expensive? $5, $6, $7 for a box of cereal. And you know that once you open the box and you take it out of that bag is like half full. It's unbelievable. So I bought the Frosted Flakes and I was ready to try to see just how much my taste buds and my palate had changed over the years. I literally had not had Frosted Flakes, I would guess, at least for 25 years. It was that long. And I don't know, it wasn't necessarily like a conscious decision of I can't eat Frosted Flakes anymore. I just didn't do it anymore. I moved on. But as I said, feeling a little nostalgic, feeling a little curious as to would I still enjoy it as much as I did before? Because I used to devour Frosted Flakes. So I make a bowl. I find my Tony the Tiger spoon, put in the milk, crunch them a little, walk away from the table for a couple of minutes, as I love a soggy flake. I come back, take a spoonful. Oh, my God. I got about four chews in. It was so sweet, at least to my palate now. It was so sweet, I couldn't even swallow it. I had to get a handkerchief or a paper towel and just spit it out. I couldn't even swallow it. It was that intense. The sugar taste was so intense, I couldn't imagine even swallowing it. So there was about $5 down the drain because I not only could I not finish the bowl, I just had one scoop. I had one spoonful. But then there was the whole box. And I was like, wow, my palate has really changed. Sorry, old friend. Sorry, Tony, but we're going to have to part ways. In my kitchen, upstairs in our kitchen, I still have my Tony the Tiger spoon. We have a little Tony the Tiger Christmas ornament that we have in the kitchen. And I even have a Tony the Tiger's little stuffed doll hanging up on the wall above the window with a bunch of Kellogg's, old vintage Kellogg cereal bowls. Because I loved cereal when I was a kid. And I loved all the Kellogg's brands. But they are a memory. They are not a contemporary or current food choice. It's nostalgic, but it ain't on my menu anymore. So, as I said, we go through life, and we get older, and our taste buds change, our palates change. We become a little more adventurous, or sometimes we become less adventurous. You never know. But I think we start out slow, kind of bland, and as time goes on, we get a little more tolerant of a little more spice, a little more taste. You start to discover new spices, especially in today's multicultural world. We're discovering more spices from different countries, from different cultures. Who ever heard of Chipotle? Never heard of it 40 or 50 years ago. Now they've named a restaurant after it, right? You never heard of some of these. Cumin, I remember at least almost 40 years ago, someone said, oh, we made this pasta dish with cumin. Never heard of it. When I was in my early to mid-20s, it was a much simpler time. There was no food network. There were no such thing as foodies. The spice world was much simpler then. Even though everybody had a spice rack, you basically used about four or five spices. You know, your pepper, maybe your paprika, maybe a little basil, some thyme, some rosemary. But, you know, nowadays, there's millions of spices out there. Never heard of cumin. Now, I like cumin. Well, I was introduced to it, as I said, in the mid-80s. I remember a friend of ours made some pasta dish using cumin. Never heard of it before and said, wow, what is this taste? And became a cumin fan. Who would have thought? So, yes, our palates evolve. Our palates expand. And one thing that one food that is one of the it's such a staple early on that we're introduced to it, I think, at an early age. But if our palates aren't as sophisticated yet, or even aren't used to, you know, spice or hot things, we might stay away from them. And then we get to a certain point, usually in your teens, where you start to get a little more adventurous with food. And you go, oh, you know, I never thought, I always stayed away from this, but I really like this. One of those things is an onion. The onion. Many different onions. You got your red onions, you got your white onions, you got your yellow onions. Many, many onions. Lots of onions. Scallions. You name it. Lots of onions out there. And onions certainly add a little bite. They might be the first little bite food, that little shock food that we get. It's not too shocking, but it in the words of Emeril, it kicks it up a notch. Bam! Right? Everybody's using kick up a notch now. I feel sorry for Emeril Lagasse, because like 40, 35 years ago, he did coin that phrase, and now everybody in the world has a cooking show, and they all are just basically stealing Emeril's act. But he was the original. I always used to like watching Essence of Emeril. I have a few cookbooks of his that he and actually saw him in person and got him signed. So I remember you, Emeril. I've gone to a couple of his restaurants over the years. Emeril Lagasse is one of the originals in terms of the new wave of TV chefs. There was Julia Child. There was Jacques Pepin, who I've also met in person. Actually had a dinner prepared by Jacques Pepin one time. Still watch some of his reruns, even though he's getting older now. But Emeril was one of the first real food stars. Now everybody's a food star, but back in the 90s, Emeril was leading the way. Bam! Kick it up a notch. So I think onions might be one of the first foods that we are introduced to that sort of push up the level of taste and adventurism in our palates. Maybe when we are in our early teens or so, you know? You start to hang around with more people. You're open to more influences. Everybody comes from a different background, and suddenly you're introduced to new foods and you try things. I think that's where that comes from. And I really think that onions, if you think about it, we might get introduced to onions from the first time. I mean, yeah, they're used in a lot of different foods, in the preparation of different kind of dishes. The most basic dish that we might be introduced to onions as we're growing up and expanding our palates is on a pizza, right? Onions on a pizza. Maybe that's the first time we really ever taste an onion and we go, oh, that's not bad. I don't know when I first tasted an onion. Now, as I think about it, maybe the onion ring might even be the first one. Oh, God, do I like a good onion ring. There was a place If you're of a certain age, you may remember this. There was a restaurant, at least here in the Chicago area, I don't know if it was national, but there was a restaurant that was a franchise. There were several of them. It wasn't just one place. But there was a restaurant called JoJo's. And JoJo's, it was in the 70s and 80s, JoJo's, they were around malls, they seemed to be around, not an outdoor, not like the indoor malls, but like a shopping center mall-ish thing. Before the indoor mall, there was, you know, there were these shopping center areas that were usually anchored by a big supermarket, and then there was a series of different stores. And on the corner of those big lots was always a JoJo's. It's a very good restaurant. Not sure why it didn't continue. Maybe it just, there was, you know, as the 80s and 90s came along, so many other franchises of kind of family-oriented food, like your Bennigan's and your Applebee's and your TGI Fridays and things like that came along. So maybe they just got lost in the shuffle. Not sure. But I do know that when I was a little kid, we used to go to JoJo's, and they had these onion rings that were just, they were fried in this big bag. They were big, thick onions with this light, almost tempura kind of batter on them. And maybe that was the first place I tasted an onion. I'm not sure. But my gosh, did I love those onion rings from JoJo's. And I do like a good onion ring. So maybe it was the onion ring that was my first introduction to the onion. I'm not sure why more fast food places don't have onion rings. Like, why doesn't McDonald's have an onion ring? Burger King has onion rings. I don't think Wendy's has onion rings, but White Castle does. I don't understand. I mean, places like McDonald's, I mean, and Wendy's, I think, I don't know if Wendy's has onion rings, to be honest with you. I know Burger King does. I mean, all these fast food places, they all buy onions. They all use onions on some of their, on most of their hamburgers. Why not have onion rings? Love onion rings. We'll go out of my way for a good onion ring. If anybody knows of a good onion ring in the Chicago area, let me know on my Facebook page. Now I'm hungry for an onion ring, which sort of goes against the main topic that I'm going to talk about. But this is how crazy I am. But now I've got such a taste for an onion ring. Even if I think about it vicariously, if there's a good place, if you got a good place, if you know of a good restaurant of any kind, you know, franchise or individual place that makes a great onion ring, let me know. Portillo's aren't bad onion rings. But so maybe the onion ring was the first place that I tasted an onion. And then I was like, well, I like the onion ring. Maybe I like an onion on my hamburger. Then you know, I get a quarter pounder with cheese or something. And suddenly the onion, and then it made its way onto the pizza, my favorite pizza. If you really asked me what's my favorite topping of a pizza, I would say, especially for a thin crust one, I would say it's sausage, onion, and green pepper. That's my favorite. I love those three together. Sausage, onion, and green pepper. But here's my dilemma. I have noticed over the last couple of years, while for most of my life, all of my life, I should say, I have not really had much of an aversion to any food, as I said before. Haven't had any kind of allergy to food or any overt reaction to food. So I've kind of been an open book. But I have noticed that over the last few years, as I've gotten older, much to my chagrin, much to my disappointment, my digestive system does not seem to be as amiable to the onion as it once was. And I'm very depressed over that. And I'm really in a, that's why I said I love a good onion ring. Tell me where is onion ring. Because I'm really in a state of limbo right now. Because I believe, much to my chagrin, much to my disappointment, that I have to stop being in denial and face the fact that perhaps I can no longer have onions. Now, this is not a good thing for me. I really like onion. I love a nice red onion on a well-made juicy cheeseburger. As I said before, I like onions in prepared in different foods. I just said I love onion rings. There's a place in the Chicago suburbs called Hackney's, which I haven't been to in many years, partly because of this. But they have a thing called an onion loaf, right? An onion loaf. And it's basically like shredded, it's like a loaf of onion rings, literally. And I remember like 40 years ago having the onion loaf at Hackney's, and I remember having a pretty intense reaction to it, if you know what I mean. So much so that I don't think I've even had it since then, but gosh, was it good. But I've still eaten onions on hamburgers, onion rings. I have onions in, you know, different foods that are prepared. I like onions. They give me that little kick. They kick it up a notch. Bam. Well, I don't have onions on everything, but I like, when it's there, I like it. And when there's an option, I like it. And I will still order onion rings and things like that. When I get a hamburger or a cheeseburger someplace, and they have on the side, they usually have the little garnish there with the tomato and the lettuce and the onion on the side that you can add, I inevitably put my onion. I grab the onion right on there. I don't tear it apart. I take the whole round onion that they usually give you that's sitting on the lettuce, and I just plop it right on the burger. And if my wife doesn't want hers, I'll take hers. Raw onions, grilled onions, you name it. There's an Italian mostly a summer salad. We could have it anytime. But it's tomatoes, onions, and olive oil. Oh, my God, do I love that salad. Sometimes people put cucumbers in it as well. But for me, I could have the onions and the olive oil and the tomatoes. Oh, love it. But I don't know if I can have it anymore. And here's why. And I'm trying to narrow this down because I hope I don't have to completely abandon the onion from my eating choices anymore. I so don't want to. But I was faced with a real reality sandwich recently. No pun intended. So my wife and I go to Napa in California for an extended weekend a few weeks ago. One of my favorite places. Love Napa. Been there many times. Love the scenery. You've got the mountains with all the vineyards, with all the wine, all the vines, the grapevines, all stretched up on the all the fields and up the mountains, and it's just beautiful. The weather is beautiful. The scenery is beautiful. It's very cool, chilled vibe. Great restaurants there. Some of the greatest restaurants in the world are in the Napa Valley region, in Napa, right around it. The several little towns that are along Route 29 that goes right through Napa. Yountville, Oakville, Rutherford, St. Helena, into Calistoga and off into, and continuing up north, Sonoma Valley. Beautiful, beautiful area. So we love going there. Try to go there at least once a year, if possible, really. That's how much I love going there. Only stay there a couple of days. It can be pricey, no question about that. But just love the vibe. Love, if I need a getaway, I love to go to Napa. It's only about an hour or so drive out of San Francisco, so it's very easy to get to. It's an easy ride, and just love it. So one of the restaurants, if you are ever going to go to Napa, I would highly recommend it. If you go to Napa, there's a restaurant called Mustard's Grill. Mustard's Grill. Can't miss it. Right on Route 29. Going up the middle of the whole Napa Valley there where all the main wineries are. Mustard's Grill. And they have a very wide menu, sandwiches, entrees, obviously wines. Really good place. Place is always packed, always busy. You got to make a reservation, but it's worth it. Can be a little pricey, as I said. That's the downside of Napa is it's a little pricey. But the upside is if you want to splurge for a couple of days, it's a great place to splurge. Mustard's Grill. It's become one of our favorite places to go when we go to Napa. Usually it's the first restaurant we go to. In fact, on our last trip, we got to Napa late in the afternoon and we made a reservation and that was the first place we went after we got to our hotel room and sort of settled in. Off to dinner at Mustard's. Now, one of the great things that they have at Mustard's, they're known for. When a place is known for it, right, you're almost obliged to get it, right? And it's been a favorite of mine ever since we started to go there because I love an onion ring. And they have a version of, as I just mentioned to you before, they have a version of the Hackney's onion loaf. Now, I can't remember which place it is. One of the places has a bloomin' onion, right? What's that? I don't know what which place that is. That is like a franchise restaurant. Is it Outback? Who has the Bloomin' Onion? I don't know. I think it is, but somebody has that Bloomin' Onion, right? It's very similar to that, but not the same. These are very fine, thinly sliced onions with a very light batter. Once again, it's not like a big, thick onion ring because it's like a glob of onion rings. They shred the onions and they must just shred the onions and dredge them in the flour and in the batter and quickly fry them and out. They're a clump of onion rings, but you can pick them apart. They're similar to the Hackney's onion loaf, but there seem to be. They're not as deeply fried. They're a little lighter. No. They're not better for you, right? No. They're still fried. So it is what it is. Let's be honest. But then, the reason I love it. Not only are these onions so good, these onion strips. I don't even know what they call them. I just say, give me the onion thing. But then it comes with this apple ketchup that they make at Mustard's, an apple ketchup. Oh my God. Oh, I can't understand why they don't bottle this stuff. I don't know if it's apple sauce. I don't know what it is, but it's an apple ketchup. And when you dip these lightly fried and battered onions, you take a clump out, you put them on your dish. You almost have to use a fork, but you dip them into this apple ketchup. In the words of Homer Simpson, oh, Oh, my gosh. So I'd love to get it. I love to get the apple strings or onion strings, whatever the hell they call them there. I don't even know what they call them there. I just say, give me the onion rings. They know what I'm talking about. If you order those, they know you're a regular. So it's been a while. It's been like a year and a half since we went there. Haven't had them in a long time. Now, the last time we went was about a year and a half ago. And as I said, the first place we go is Mustard's. We love going to Mustard's first day. It's like, that's how you know you're in Napa. You go to Mustard's. And you got to get these onion rings, right? You go there once a year, once a year and a half, once every 2 years, whatever. You got to get these things because you don't get them anywhere else. And the last time I went, we ordered them. And my wife will have some, but she's not crazy about onions. And she's, like I said, she's not crazy about spice. So basically, it's for me. And I love these things. And I remember I had a reaction for about a day and a half to these onions. And it was not good. I'm not going to get into the details. Let's just say it was not good. And I was, if I belched, it was the taste of onions. And the taste of onions was everywhere, if you know what I mean. It was not fun. And then finally it got through my system, but it took like a day or so, day and a half, to really feel okay and not have that taste of onions. And so my wife said, you really, I don't think you can have those onions anymore, those onion rings, because you're not feeling well afterwards and you lose your appetite. Because the onion taste was so pungent in my mouth for like the next day. And as I said, I was having digestive problems as well, as you can only imagine. And so it's like this, for the 5 or 10 minutes of euphoria that these onion strips were giving me, the downside was lasting much longer. But then it subsides, and then you feel fine, okay, and you move on and you forget about it. Well, as I said, a year and a half later, I go back and we go to Mustard's first thing, and don't forget, if you're not feeling good the first day or two, you're only there for 2 or 3 days. I mean, you've kind of, now you've curtailing, are you going to be feeling up for going places, going to other places to eat? You can have an appetite. So you really, you don't want to, purposely make yourself sick with something that you probably shouldn't have because you have an adverse reaction to it. But having not had adverse reactions to food for the majority of my life, I think a lot of times in my mind, maybe it's delusional, maybe it's denial, well, that was just that one time. Yeah, right. That's you make excuses to yourself in order to indulge into the behavior that you want. Well, that man, I hadn't eaten long before that, blah, blah, blah. You make up excuses. So when we go to Mustard's on this last trip a few weeks ago, first day, first night, get the menu, and I'm like, oh, man, there's those onions. There's those onion strips. And my wife says, you're really going to get those? The last time we were here, you really had a bad reaction to those. And I said, yeah, I know, but, I'm in Napa. I'm at Mustard's. What am I going to do? Come on. I have to get it. It's Mustard's Grill. I have to. And so whether it was the hopeful thing or I don't know, or I was making my own, excuses, but give me the onion rings with that delicious apple ketchup. Oh, I should say, too, what I love, too. Oh, I love French onion soup. The words in the title, right? You know, the French onion soup with the cheese baked on top and little crock. Oh, I love onion rings. I mean, I love onions. Now, interestingly enough, as I said, I don't have a negative reaction to all onions cooked, prepared at all. I guess it must be of the way they're prepared, maybe. I don't know. I would think a raw onion, like I know that when I put the raw onion on a hamburger, I have a little reaction to it. But I think but I have onion rings. Not all the time, but occasionally I'll have an onion ring instead of fries if you go to some places. I don't have this reaction to it. Not as violent and as long-standing as the reaction I had here. So I'm at Mustard's Grill. I got to get these delicious onion rings with the apple ketchup. Oh, it's unbelievable. I haven't had it in 15 months. I've got to have it. My wife says, you know, I said, I know, but I got to get it. So what do? I order it. And sure enough, I have, majority of it. My wife's had some because they are very good. There's no question about it. People go there. They are known for their onion rings at Mustard's Grill in Napa. So I have that. There are some left over. Like I said, they're kind of shredded. They're not like rings. They're like shredded onions with the batter. I had a chicken breast sandwich. Even plopped them on top of the chicken breast sandwich. Mmm. Fantastic. Great meal. Go home. We'll go back to the hotel. And I'm feeling okay. But then, I would say, about an hour and a half later, I had a very violent reaction to the onions. I had to run to the bathroom. And wow. And I was tasting those onions in my throat for a good day and a half. Really was. And it finally got through my system, out, gone, and I felt better. But I really didn't have an appetite for almost a day because I kept having that taste come up and had to occasionally go to the bathroom. And so coming home, we were discussing our trip and what a good time we had. And my wife said, well, I think the one thing that we've learned from this trip is that you really can't do those onion rings anymore. You really shouldn't do onions anymore. And I was like, are you kidding me? How am I not going to do? I love onion. As I said, I like a good French onion soup. When the onions are really boiled or cooked in the soup, when they maybe lose their real strength and pungency, I never have a problem when I have French onion soup. I don't have a problem when I have onion rings. I don't really have a problem when I have even onions on a pizza. I don't know what it is about these fried, and I remember I had the same reaction to the Hackney's onion loaf 40 years ago. So I don't know if it's the type of onion, because it tastes like a sweeter, different kind of onion. It's not. I don't know if it's a white onion or even a yellow onion. I don't know what kind. Maybe it's the type of onion that is used in these loaf kind of stringy onion, fried onion things. I don't know if it's the preparation. I don't know if it's the oil that's used. I don't know. So I'm kind of in a quandary here because I don't think that I can't eat onions anymore. But I do know there are certain onion-based dishes that I have to really seriously begin to think about not having. In fact, when we went out, I had the onion rings were through. They were done. They were out of my system. I was feeling good. We went to another restaurant a couple of days later. I had a cheeseburger, delicious cheeseburger, at a place. And there it was, the lettuce, the tomato, and the onion, the raw onion, the white onion. My God, did it look good. But you know what? I did not get back on the horse. I showed some restraint. My body was telling me, at least on this trip, no onions, pal. So I just had the tomato and the lettuce, no onion. I missed the onion on the burger. I must admit, I did. But I said, you know, I don't want to put myself through that in case I've got some aversion to the onions now. So I did show some restraint. I did learn a lesson. But now that I'm back home and those onion rings are halfway across the country and I probably won't have them for another year or so, I just don't know whether when we go back to Mustard's the next time, how do I not get the onion rings at Mustard's Grill? I love them so much. But then I have to remember, my wife said, you know, I have an envelope with all of our Napa information, maps and different tours and places we like to go and, you know, menus of places. And she said, you know, and directions to things. And she's like, in your Napa envelope that you always bring on our trips, put in a note now that says, no Mustard's onion rings, to remind you. Because a year or so is going to go by and you're going to go, oh, blah, blah, blah. But no, this is two times in a row where you've had this reaction. I don't know if my digestive system is changing, if my body is changing. I know my palate isn't changing because I still love them. And this apple ketchup is amazing. But so I don't know if I'm onion adverse now. I pray I'm not, because I love onions. I love onion rings. I love onions, French onion soup. I love onions on burgers. I like onions on different things, in different things, in salads. Oh, I just really like onions. And I love these onion rings from Mustard's Grill. But they don't seem to love me back. And there's nothing worse than when you're in love with something and it doesn't love you back. That's really a hard realization. You know, when you have a crush on somebody and you're just head over heels and they either tell you outright or you can pretty much catch the vibe that they don't feel the same way. Man, that's not a fun feeling. Rejection is not fun. And right now, as it stands, I'm in love with the Mustard's Grill onion rings with the apple ketchup, but the onion rings don't seem to love me back because they are wreaking havoc on my digestive system. So I really have to think about this one. I did put the note that my wife told me. I didn't say no onion rings. I just wrote a note that said Mustard's Grill onion rings. I didn't put the no onion rings. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. This is a reminder
that when we go there the next time, remember the onion ring reaction. Is that something you want again? So I'm not ready to, you know, get on the wagon against the onions rings from Mustard's. And I have to really, and I'm gonna test it out with onions and different things, you know, as we go out to dinner or we prepare things at home. I'm gonna test it out. Is it just fried onions? Is it just these onions? I don't know. But for the first time in my life, I'm really having to make a decision on curtailing a certain food, not because I don't like it, but because I do like it, because I love it, but it's wreaking havoc on my digestive system. So, I don't know if you've got any foods that you really like, but you sudden now over time you realize, boy, I can't eat those anymore. I don't know if it's just onions, if there's any other foods. I don't know. This is all new to me. I'm having to reassess my eating choices because I've never really had to say, oh, I can't have that. I can't have that. I've always said, oh, I'll try that. I'll try that. Oh, I love that. And now I have to, if I go to the Mustard's Grill the next time, when I look at that menu, those onion rings are going to be screaming at me, Jim, where have you been? It's nice to have you back. We're here. We're waiting for you. Those tempting onions, I know they're going to be teasing me. They're going to be luring me. And so I have to make a decision between now and the next time I go to Mustard's Grill in Napa. I'm going to have to test out some onion dishes prepared different ways and determine whether it is onions in general, whether it is raw onions, whether it is fried onions, whether it is grilled onions. I don't seem to have that same reaction except for these kind of onion loaf things. So I'm a little depressed right now because I love these onion rings so much. I love onions, but I don't know if it's just this one onion that doesn't like me, or if it's all onions. But I'm going to have to decide whether me and the onion will have to make a permanent break. I hope not, because I'll miss you, onion. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 462. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of my mind to your ears. Mustard's Grill onion rings with apple ketchup. Oh.